Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I'm really glad you are here, and yesterday was a bit of a rush at the end. We have very strict time limits on the radio, so those of you listening to podcast, that is why I sometimes hustle at the end. I try not to do that, but sometimes I have no choice. So having done that, let me pick up where we left off and share with you the wise words of author Henry Morris from his book, The Genesis Record, which is one of our many companions in this series. Before I give this to you again, let me set the context. We're following along our great God as he teaches the first man in the garden in Eden. God has a course outline, a syllabus, and on this outline, God has thus far made 2 points to Adam. First, God teaches Adam to fulfill Adam's responsibility. Second, God teaches Adam that while Adam will rule over the animals, he will not have satisfactory fellowship with the animals. God has taught Adam his need for woman. God has put a longing in Adam for Eve. We see that in our reading, Genesis 2, verses 19 and 20. That says, "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him." Just before we leave this second teaching point on God's outline, I commented at the end last time on something keen readers of the Bible will most likely have noticed. Genesis 2 verse 19 says that God brought the animals to the man to see what he would call them. And then Adam names them, and you may have thought, wow, all these animals in the garden, and how long would it take Adam to sit there and name them? You might even find this somewhat unbelievable, like the Bible must be exaggerating. If you feel this way, here's what I think you should keep in mind. Not all of the animals in existence were in the garden in Eden. The Bible says God brought the animals to the man. A garden is not really a garden if it has all kinds of animals traipsing through it all the time. Rather, God brought into the garden and over to Adam only the animals with the highest likelihood for having fellowship with the man. Remember, the garden is in the broader land of Eden. The other animals were outside the garden in that land. But I suspect the specific animals Adam named on this specific day were a lesser number. And again, even in those, he could not find a helper suitable for him. Adam named only a certain number of creatures that day. This is remarkable. The man is intelligent, and he was able to quickly determine what an animal's name should be based on its nature and characteristics. And now, the words of our friend Henry Morris. Quote, "We have no way of knowing exactly how many kinds of animals appeared before Adam, but it was clearly not such a large number as to be incapable of examination within a few hours at the most. It is not unreasonable to suggest that Adam could note and name about 10 kinds each minute, so that in, say, 5 hours, about 3,000 kinds could be identified." Unquote. Well, isn't that interesting? By the way, this reminder, if you want any of the quotations I share with you on God Is, just write to me for them. I am happy to send them along to you. The email is mark@godisministry.org. That's Mark with a K. And the mailing address is Pastor Mark Swallow, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. These, in my estimation, are well worth having and inserting in your Bible for future reference. We want to be well-read and to learn from others who have studied the Scripture before us. Reading is indispensable to us for our learning. So, get these quotes. Okay, that is some follow-up from yesterday. Now, you may have found that stimulating, or you may think, so what? What's the big deal? Move on, Mark. All right, then, let's proceed to the next point on God's course outline, his syllabus, his curriculum, if you will, for Adam and really for Eve and for us, if we are willing to pay close attention. Here now is God's third lesson. Man and woman are not made from animals. Here, God clarifies again for us that evolution has no place in the truth about how man and woman were made, how they were created. Genesis 2, verses 19 and 20 contrasts how God made man and woman versus how God made the animals. Let's stick with Adam here and let us be logical. If man evolved from apes, then how come Adam was naming his parents? How come Adam found nothing in common with the animals he was naming? Verse 20 flat out tells us, "But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him." Why cannot the animals be Adam's companion if Adam has evolved from them? Wouldn't he have to have something in common with his parents, with his brothers and sisters in this animal kingdom? And by the way, Adam was the first man, so if evolution is correct, then Adam would have recently evolved from the animals he was now naming and among whom he had nothing in common. Adam stood there that day in the garden and had multiple animals brought before him. He named them, but found nothing in common with them. There was not a helper suitable for the man among all these animals. Adam is alone. Adam still needs the helper. The idea, the theory, what is now called science, that is so confident men and women evolved from apes, is of course preposterous, according to the Bible. God always defends himself and his ways in the Bible, and here, right in the second chapter of the entire Word of God, we have the clear and direct contradiction of human evolution. God made Adam and Eve. Period. God made them exactly as the Bible says he did. Read Genesis 2, verse 7. Read Genesis 2, verses 21 and 22. Believe what the Bible says. You do not need a PhD or some other doctorate from the hallowed halls of higher education to understand this. What we need to do is to believe God. Take God at his word in the scripture. Accept the Bible to be God's holy, inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. That is what we are called to do, indeed required to do by the Almighty God. The point I am making here, as seen in the text of the Bible, is not designed to lead us into a debate about evolution. I will say that even the facts of science itself disprove evolution. But that is a conversation for another time. Henry Morris best summarizes the point I am trying to convey, a point I believe comes to us from God in his word. And so here again, let me quote Morris. If there were any remaining question as to whether the Bible teaches that man is simply an animal, related by common ancestry and evolutionary continuity to all the other animals, the rest of this second chapter of Genesis will lay such an idea to rest. The first man and woman were unique and special creations of God, not to be compared with animals at all, but rather to be contrasted with them. End quotation. That was Dr. Henry Morris, and he is absolutely correct. God teaches Adam and Eve, and God teaches his students today this fact. Man and woman are not made from animals. And that is all I will say about this, so that in total, God the teacher gives a three-part lesson. First, God teaches Adam to fulfill Adam's responsibility. Second, God teaches Adam that while Adam will rule over the animals, He will not have satisfactory fellowship with the animals. God has taught Adam his need for the woman. God has put a longing in Adam for Eve. Third, man and woman are not made from animals. Instead, man and woman are God's unique creation, personally crafted together by the Lord. God now asks us, any questions? If so, we can take these up with him. He is the teacher. We are all his students. We come now to Genesis 2 and verse 21. Remember that just as we exit verse 20, we read this, "But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him." Tomorrow we will find out what God does about this dilemma facing the first man. I hope you will return on a Friday to find out. And let me encourage you, as I always like to do, to read the scripture along with us. This is how you will get the most out of the Bible. Read it again and again. It is loaded in pure gold. So my invitation goes like this. Sometime before tomorrow, read Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. That means you will cover what we've been discussing and what we will discuss as we move forward. That's Genesis 2, 18 through 25. This is just 8 verses. I am confident that you can do that, right? As you read, pay particular attention to verses 21 and 22. That's Genesis 2, 21 and 22. There you will find the Lord God as surgeon. He puts Adam on the operating table in the garden in Eden and cuts into him. Maybe you are a little squeamish about the human body, doctors, blood, medicine, and surgery. Well, let me put your mind at ease. You do not have to worry. This is God as surgeon. It all goes just perfectly. And we will talk about it tomorrow when you come back and join me as together we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.